Welcome to NorAm Assets, Your Money, with Danny Stewart.
You never know how far the stock is going to go down.
And Tim Razor.
Danny knows I'm a geek for all of this stuff.
If you're seeking the best stock knowledge this side of Wall Street, you've come to the right place.
I'm sorry, did I steal your stuff?
No, you didn't steal any thunder. Who's handling this segment?
For the next hour, Danny and Tim will be talking investing.
Investing is 90% psychological, and I love that.
Trades.
The market will usually overshoot to the downside and to the upside.
And dumpster fires.
When do you say my principal loss isn't worth the dividends I'm getting?
And now, here's your hosts, Danny and Tim.
So many of you out there think you are in control. And it doesn't matter if it's the markets, your life, you think that you are in complete control. It doesn't matter if you think you're driving down the street. So you're driving down the street, you've got 10 and 2 on the wheel, you are doing the speed limit, some of you are doing under the speed limit, some of you are not texting while driving, and yet somebody else just ran the red light. You're not in control. And so what happens is you are affected by somebody else's actions. So as we tape this show, stock nerds and market lovers across the globe, you're joined by Danny Stewart live in studio here with me. I'm Tim Razor, Don Vandenborde from historic Calais, St. Augustine, Florida. Don Vandenborde, the portfolio extraordinaire, he joins us live on the air. Hi, Don. How are you, sir?
Hey, what's going on?
Wow, you're in a good mood. And so you are affected by a ton of external forces. So case in point, as we step into the studio here on Friday to tape the show, CNBC sends out an alert, breaking news, right? So they send out an alert, Mueller to indict Russians. And I think it even said Americans. And it doesn't matter what it said. It said CNBC is about to get hyped up. And when CNBC sends out an alert, that triggers the algos. That's right, triggered. It triggers the algorithmic trading computers. You are not in control. So the market takes a quick dip. Dip. Kind of like Chris Berman. And so... And then CNBC, like a half hour later, maybe 45 minutes later, sends out an alert, market recovers because no Americans were indicted or no Americans appear to have helped the Russians. And in this rush to get news out and in this rush to just be first to anything or report that Mueller took a leak, didn't wash his hands. I mean, just to get anything out, it's all tradable. Every piece of it is tradable. And you are not in control. So is there an even more grotesque example of you not being in control this week, Daniel? I'll give it to you. Don't even try. So,
thank you, Tim.
So Wednesday... You get the inflation number, and the retail sales number that everybody's been waiting for. The two biggest reports that I contend, the two biggest economic reports of the young 2018 year. And right away, you get higher inflation than expected and a cost, just caustic mix, higher inflation and lower retail sales. Like yep. Could not be worse than anticipated. And markets reverse like 500 points. From pre-market highs. And I'm sitting in an office waiting for an appointment. And this is all pre-market. And I'm texting with the fellas. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. The VIX is coming off. And someone's going to write into me. And I'm going to save you the trouble. Look, I get it. There was a VIX contract roll. There's a whole bunch of things going on behind the scenes with the VIX. Got it. But the market just started to steadily improve from the release of that report. And a lot. If you were following the VIX, you could have said, "Hey, something's not right here. We should probably just pay attention to this for a few minutes and see what's really going on." But no one had touched. Not one person traded the market like a human being probably traded the market. Like, CNBC sends out a text alert with the information, Bloomberg, Wall Street Journal, CNBC, they send out their little alerts onto all the world's smartphones, and the computers kick in. And they just start trading. And you don't even know if the direction's correct. And selling begets selling, and it takes down the whole enterprise. And that's kind of what happened a little bit here on a Friday afternoon. Now, whether or not selling begets selling and that's really the true direction of the market or not, I mean, I don't know. But it's interesting that you have the hyperbole of two text alerts from CNBC. Mueller indicts Russians. And do the Russians even care, by the way? I mean, that's a whole nother discussion. Mueller indicts us. Another cigar, Sergey. Like, I mean, who cares? And then the second part is markets recover because Americans didn't help them. Like, and so to think at home that you're in control of a lot of what's going on right now, and a lot of this is the complaint of investors, mm-hmm. that, you know, the high frequency trading, algorithmic trading, there needs to be some brakes put onto this.
Speed bumps,
you know, needs to be put onto this. And that's a lively debate for maybe another day. But how do you get around that? How do you get around? You're in the environment right now.
Right.
How
do you invest in that environment?
Well, right. And someone out there, listen, if you're listening to the show, you have an interest in investing, or you really hate investing and you have such a miserable existence that you listen to things you hate, which, by the way, we'll get into in a second. So if you have friends that are not into investing, like the game's rigged and all that other stuff. Well, the Fed, the United States government has forced you, as Danny has lamented many times, has forced you into equities, so to speak, because they're not giving you, even with all the talk of rising interest rates, it's really hard to make a return on your money anywhere else.
There's no such thing as safe money. A CD, 2 years, doesn't even keep up with inflation. Yeah, you can't get a little short-term guaranteed thing that is worth anything.
Right. It's really hard to keep up with inflation, get ahead if you're not investing in equity. So the Fed created this.
They call it the reflation trade, Tim. Get with the pro.
Yeah.
The reflation trade.
The Fed created this.
They first said, we're gonna force risk-averse investors into risky assets. And after about 2 days of getting just hammered by people like me saying, you just admitted you're going to force blue-haired grandma into stocks from CDs, then they rephrased it, and they never said that again out loud. They called it the reflation trade, or the quantitative easing.
Took them, and what happens when you get a shock to the system? It took Trump a year to do inflation. It took them never achieved it.
Right.
And so now you have what you have, and we've lamented on the show and in videos what took place with the VIX and everything. So now you're in stocks, and you're in mutual funds, and you're in your ETFs. And you're saying, Tim, you can't compete against the computers. I am saying that, by the way. What do you do? Well, you have to have a process. You have to have rules that help you out in to fight against the machines. And the rules aren't just buy and hold. And the rules aren't buy the dip, because there's going to come a moment where buy the dip is not the answer.
Right.
There's going to come a moment where the computers have it so wrong that they're going to start liquidating. And when they say throw the baby out with the bathwater, they're going to throw the tub, the sink, the toilet, the whole house is going to implode upon itself because they flushed the system down so fast. And someone's thinking out there, Tim, that's hyperbole. I want to bring you back to something we haven't talked about in a while. The thought that every stock is leveraged. So a lot of talk about derivatives. Right. Mm-hmm. A lot of talk that a lot of people have derivatives and they had derivatives in the VIX. And that's what caused this really fast and gratuitous sell off. But every stock is leveraged up to the hilt, mm-hmm. because of all the ETFs and mutual funds that exist. There's not enough investable stocks. There's not enough stocks coming to the market. That's a problem. There's not enough IPOs. The IPO pipeline stops. I mean, the IPO pipeline's slow. There's not enough investable equities out there for all the ETFs and mutual funds that exist. So when selling starts happening, it's not, you know, let's say, go ahead.
Well, I just want to clean up a little something you said, because I want to clarify for the listeners, to be perfectly accurate. There's so many outstanding shares mm-hmm. of a stock. You can yeah. only have that many outstanding shares, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying is because they're owned by so many ETFs and so many mutual funds, all by these groups,
yeah.
when especially these ETFs, when selling starts happening and the algos kick in, and a lot of these algorithms use ETFs for easy entry and exit, you're going to get waves of selling on that same stock, even
yeah.
the best stocks in the world. It yep.
won't matter.
If this particular index fund or this particular sector fund get like the technology fund gets sold,
yep.
Apple gets sold with it.
Yep.
Or Amazon, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
The best stock in the world gets sold because it gets sold within the funds.
Right.
And it's all going to get sold.
It's all going to get sold. And so you see the velocity just increases to breakneck speed, and you can't keep up. And so you need some kind of process. And I lamented last week what happened with our, you know, like with our process or what's taking place with our process. I lamented last week with that, what's happening or what happened with that. And then, well, what gets you back in? And you need rules around that. You need a process. And that process is what I think really it grounds you, and it helps you fight those algos. And if you don't have a process and you're just dollar cost averaging, which is a process, but you don't have a sell discipline in there, or you're just some of you are just statement drawers, like you get statement, put it in a drawer. if you don't have some kind of process in place, whether it is 401k or IRA, I think this is really dangerous times, because whether or not how we turn out the rest of the year, it really doesn't matter. It should be a wake-up call to get a process. So how did we get back into the markets last week? It was that process. It was, hey, yeah, we sold the very same day that we ended up having to sell some things because it looked like that flush was taking place. Wow, this velocity
is going to continue. Yeah.
Yeah, is just increasing. Like this isn't the
Friday afternoon, yeah. mid afternoon.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden
reversal.
You see the biggest ticks of the year, which is buying pressure, come into the market. Okay, you got it. Step a toe into the water here. And then a little buying begets a little bit more buying. And then before you know it, you're kind of back up to where you were before the sell-off. You're kind
right,
of getting
right, right.
getting back
almost
in line.
Fully invested, yep.
Yeah. And even though the markets, as you go to bed on Thursday night, the S&P is only up about 2.2% for the year, Thursday night.
Right.
You know, depending upon how we finish Friday, you can do the math for that. So we're getting back up to where we were almost before the sell-off. But how does that happen? You have to have a process to get you back in. Does that make sense? Did I say that clearly?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I'm trying to say this succinctly.
Let me put on my Tim Tupper.
Please.
Here's the problem. So this dip, mm-hmm. as you put it, actually qualified as a correction because it was more than 10%, right?
Right.
So it was actually our first correction in a long time. But it was a big dip. Now it looks like it's going to be sort of like a V or a pretty quick rise back. Not quite V, but all I'm saying is...
Well, I've got some things to say about that.
Okay. All I'm saying is
yeah.
it came back pretty good. Now, this was a big dip,
mm-hmm.
and this time, so far, it looks like it's coming back. But one of these times, it's going to continue to go lower. So when it starts selling off like that, you have to get defensive. You've got to raise some cash to lower risk.
Yeah.
And then you're saying, you're setting up saying, how is it to get back in? How do you know?
Our process involves, it's multifaceted. It's not one piece of information. And if I'm misstepping here, Don, or I'm leaving some pieces out, just step in here, please. Tick involved, meaning that you got to see the buying pressure come in. So you have the tick pressure come in. You have some VIX pressure decrease. And you've got it. You've got to see some shifting in some other areas, and then you just buy an ETF. It's your lowest risk entry right there, and that's exactly what we did. But Don and I, you know, you got to communicate that plan together too. By the way, that helps to have someone to bounce a plan off of. But the other part too is we're at a pausing point here. As we're taping the show Friday, Don and I have been talking all week about maybe 2750 coming up in the S&P futures, and that being a natural pausing point for the markets. And then, well, what do you do from here? Well, you got to see what the markets want to do. And then how, you know, and we've lamented last week's show is talked about how do we hedge, where do we want to hedge, and do we want to hedge? And that again involves what is the buying pressure doing, and what are the VIX futures telling us? Mm-hmm. And by the way, cash is also a position.
Oh, absolutely.
And so having some cash here isn't a problem either. And so, but there's going to come a time where you're really, really not in control of this. And you if you want just two really crystal clear examples of you at home being susceptible to the whims of computers in far off lands, it's Wednesday, because that reaction that the market had was exactly the opposite, because that's just how everybody had it planned, right? I'm being sarcastic
right,
here,
right.
Where the markets had the two pieces of news that were the worst they could have been for the markets going in, and it turned out the markets loved it, mm-hmm. and ebbed higher. And so you gotta understand that it's a market, anything can happen, and two, you have to have some kind of plan in place to either cut bait and run. And realize it's time for a little defense, or where you're at in time and space in a retracement rally, and what to do there, and then or how to get back in after you've had this massive flush. So I just wanted to touch on that because we're not out of the woods yet, and I think the worst kind of talk right now that's going on in the market space is, I don't think we've seen the lows yet. Like, that doesn't really help anybody. And I'm not sure we've helped anybody yet.
Lows of what? And lows from where? And where?
Yeah, I don't think we've helped anybody here either. But I just thought it would be helpful to talk through the VIX futures component that we're using here in the shop. Even though the VIX has come off tremendously, I mean, we're still really not out of inversion yet, which is interesting to me. And I think you want to take your cues, even when it looks like we're going, we potentially, even if we broke through this 2750 area and we potentially look like we could go all the way back up to new highs, you still got to be able to read the market internals and see what this market wants to do. I just don't think we're out of the woods yet. Don, you have something to add to there? I'm sorry if I just rambled there for a few minutes.
No, it is very interesting that despite how far we've come up, that the VIX is still inverted, and that definitely is something we're keeping an eye on.
By the way, real quick, did we even introduce the show, and did you introduce Don?
No, I introduced Don, yeah, but it's Your Money Radio.
I
introduced Don. I didn't 855 Real Wealth is how you get a hold of us. If you have any questions, Dan at Revere Asset. If you want to email Don at Revere Asset, Tim at revereasset.com. If you want to get a hold of us, if you'd like to become a client of the firm, we would love to have you join the family. If you'd like to understand what our sell discipline is, or how we edge in or edge out, if you really are confused by the velocity of what took place, or you've heard us talk about the sell discipline, and you're like, well, that really happened quickly. Why didn't you see this coming 3 weeks ago? Listen to last week's show. I think last week's show clears a lot of that up, but and we're 1,000% behind transparency.
So, watch Thursday night's video too. I talked about how we legged in and legged out in different positions, overlaid with a chart of the S&P 500 as it was dropping and going back up.
Yeah, and so if you don't know what Don's talking about, we do videos 5 nights a week. Just go to revereasset.com. There's a little icon bottom left hand side of the screen that says Stock Nerd Videos. You can click there. Every video we've ever done, we never take them down.
And we're not going to spam. We don't try to market to you. It's up to you to reach out to us. Now, and Don made a very good point, talking about leg in, leg out. Unless you're convinced that it's, or the high probabilities, you're never convinced, but there are high probabilities that it's an absolute complete market meltdown and the sky is falling and it's going to be like a 2008 or a tech wreck type scenario, you don't want to go to 100% or 80% cash. You don't go that far. You want to do it, you know, 20%, 40% and move in legs and then get back in 20%, 40%, because if you go all in or all out, you significantly increase the chance of getting whipsawed.
Oh, the whip is, well, yeah. And then the people that, which goes back to someone out there surely would be saying, well, why get out at all? Because there's a lot, oftentimes, the things that led the market before a big sell-off, oftentimes they don't lead on the way back.
Well, that's one thing. So in other words, the former leaders may not be the future leaders, but also you don't know in advance. Sure, with hindsight, it's easy to go back and look and go, oh, well, look, it just came back by the dip, or the big dip. It one of these times, it's going to continue to go down. And if you just miss two-thirds, okay, of the next major 25-30% correction, you're way ahead of the game.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and so.
And plus, it's easier. It's a smoother ride. You're not sleeping on the couch because your wife's pissed.
Yeah, and so, anyway, so lots, I mean, just such a compressed timeline. This sell-off compared to the 2015 sell-off, with the August 2015 sell-off, which is the way I'm tracking this one, just such a compressed timeline, and then compared to that one, and then if this turns out to be, which I'm still saying it's in doubt, a V-shaped recovery, you have to go back to October of 2014, the first maybe 10 days of October of 2014, when it was the taper tantrum. Mm-hmm. Where you had a really sharp sell-off, and then the market recovered and just then went traversed on. So anyway, I think enough about that. Enough about the process. You got to keep up with the shows because we're constantly talking about it. But I think this market is also, I want to talk about how it'll drive you crazy too. So there's people out there that are expecting. They're really upset about this recovery. And so, like, recovery in the market's only recovered maybe half or three quarters of what it sold off, and so it can drive you insane. And so there's a fella out here, and his name's let me get his name right. Gosh darn it, Mark Chode. I'm butchering his last name, and so this guy is a short seller, okay, and he's tweeting. Apparently, he's a short seller with a website. And he's tweeting out in California, out in Sonoma County. And he's tweeting the CEO of MediMix, I believe it's a tech company. You know what I'm talking about, Don? MediMedX Group. He's tweeting the CEO of this company how he's going to put him in a small shoebox. Like that's a death threat. Like, he's sending him death threats on Twitter because he's trying to take down the company. He believes the company is such a fraud and such a sham that he is apoplectic about this company. That is a loss of control. that is a complete loss of control. And so the feds step in, and he's actually suing. His lawyers have got involved. The short seller's lawyers have got involved, saying the feds have overstepped their grounds. I know you're looking at me crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, because they're saying that the feds only stepped in because the CEO had asked the feds to step in. Yeah. Man, but I want you to think about Twitter. I like Twitter as a research tool, and I've talked highly of Twitter as a research tool.
Using the search, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but Twitter is a cesspool. for
other stuff too.
For other stuff, right?
You got to learn how to filter,
right? And it's amazing to me, and it got me thinking about, man, there's probably a whole bunch of traders, a whole bunch of or investors, whatever they think of themselves as, that are just on the opposite sides of this market, meaning they were long, right at the wrong time at the top. And then they got short right at the end there, and the videos, stock nerds, market lovers, in the videos, Don does it. We talk about, you know, there are times, you know, times to be long, times to be short, but sometimes there's times to do nothing, and we show you the tools we're using.
Yeah,
you know, there's not, and I want to just repeat this: that there's not one indicator. There's not one piece.
There's not a magic black box.
No, there's not. And there's there's not one piece of data that the VIX futures gives us. We stepped into that SSO trade, which is double SPY, pretty much right at the bottom on Friday.
S&P 500.
Yeah. Complete inferno on, you know, inversion on the VIX. And you could, it's like, well, Tim, that goes against all of your rules. No, that doesn't. That doesn't. When you get a 1,400, 1,500 plus tick reading.
Buy.
Yeah, you got to do something. That's the shorts about to get wiped out. They're about to cover because you got to do something to the buy side. Mm-hmm. Or if you were short.
You at least uncover your short.
You cover them, yeah. And so.
Take your profit and run.
Yeah, and so. Like this short seller article that I was reading the other night, it just astounding, you know, like but people are crazy, you know, like if you search for a ticker, there's a lot of junk. Like if I want to find news, like when I'm looking for if a stock's moving, the first place I go is Twitter because the people on Twitter will start talking about it before I can find it on Google. And so I'll go there first. But if there's no news on a stock, it's usually just the cesspool of people trying to pump something, or telling you, or
a lot of pumping and dumping,
or they're just screaming from Twitter about their personal beliefs about how X, Y, and Z is gonna man, a lot of stuff about blockchain riot, but I mean it's astounding. Look, I can tweet about a stock, but I'm not moving a stock. I mean, I don't know who this guy is. This Mark. Chodes. He's not moving a stock either. And to think about how he's spending his life trying to tear down a company and expose it. You know, those Lemon folks. What are the folks, Don? Citron?
Citron.
Yeah, Citron.
Yeah, Citron. They you know, even they, I mean, think about how hard it is to short a stock, folks. Citron, who gets it right sometimes, they were long Twitter. Mm-hmm. They were so wrong. On Wayfair, they've been wrong on Tesla for how many? Did they had to cover their Tesla short, right, Don?
They did. They've been wrong quite a bit. They hit a couple home runs though, so yeah. They stay relevant. I mean, people listen to them. If you're holding something and Citron comes out short on it, you're gonna take a hit.
Yeah, because they've got some credibility, but very rarely do people follow up with. Hey, remember that thing Citron was short? It's now up 100% from that point. Like, it's rarely do they get that kind of press coverage.
Very, very short term, yeah.
Yeah, and so to think that someone on Twitter is going to press their case. So I listen, if you're out there and you're on the wrong side of something this weekend, and Monday's markets are closed, but man, there is nothing like going flat and just starting fresh. So if you're feeling that kind of pain. As we head into the weekend, well, it's a little too late if you're listening.
A lot of these people, though, are also getting very, very unnerved because for the last 14 months, you've had one of the lowest volatility times in the history of the stock market. I mean, that last year was very abnormal. That's not normal, but people got used to it because they lived through it and they think that's the way it's supposed to be. They don't realize that a 10% plus correction a year is normal. And in fact, one out of 3 year, couple years, you'll get two of those in a year. And those are in up years. I mean, those are when it's positive. So people have gotten kind of spoiled, and now they're coming, they're very, very nervous and scared. And then you get the people on the fringe like that.
I don't know. You know, I'm going to take the other side of that just for a second. When you say people are very nervous and scared, I wonder if that's the media blowing that.
Well, that could be too, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
You got plenty of calls last week about people being scared, didn't you, Dan?
Well, okay, so there you go. I'm wrong.
It depends on their time frame and what they feel like. There are some people that are nervous, and they're watching it all the time. They watch CNBC. They get caught up in that media hype. Other people, and some people are genuinely, they're stock nerds, and they're genuinely watching the markets, and they're seeing that price go down, and they're wondering if that is going to be by the big dip or whether it's going to continue lower. Those people have a little bit better grasp. But then there's some people that are, you know what? They're so busy in life, they're not even paying attention. They trust us to take care of it, and they're not going to. You get very few calls from them. So it really depends on the person and what, and like you said, their media, what they're taking in, what they're watching, or how active they are. But last year, I got very, very few calls at all just because it was so smooth, it was so easy, the market just went up, no pullbacks at all. And we're out of that.
Could you imagine if there was a Bitcoin broker? What that's like?
Oh, my gosh.
what that's like being a the media is feeding you a narrative, and what most people don't realize, whatever narrative that person on TV is feeding you, is what they need you to do for the sake of their book.
Oh yeah, watch the advertisers on the show for that hour. And, you know, rewind it, record it, and see who the advertisers are. And then you'll see why they're – remember, it's the changing of the investment business. It's not the investment business. If they don't get you to take action or do something, they don't make any money for them or their advertisers.
You could watch.
So it's got to be absolute Armageddon, horrible, Holocaust, or it's got to be elation. You're missing out, FOMO, right?
Yeah. You could watch 8 hours of Bloomberg or CNBC or – whatever your choice is, and you'd have no idea whether we're having inflation, stagflation, deflation.
Right.
There, you know, there was someone, and you have to say something to get noticed. So now the thing to say is that we're going to have no growth, no GDP this month, and we need to really be worried about deflation.
Right.
And people just say things, and Don's line is really the best here, which is just worry about the price. Did I get it right, Don? Did we lose Don?
Don, you there?
No, you lost.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. No, he's there.
I thought we lost
that
Don.
That was a question for you, Don.
I was about to try.
He made a statement.
He said, isn't that right, Don? Well, I guess you could take it. I guess you could take it both ways.
So, anyway, I think...
That part cut out, but you are right.
Oh,
price
well...
Price is what pays.
Well, anyway, Danny's over here with technological issues. Go ahead, Danny. What you got over here? That's all I wanted to talk about this week.
Well, no, that was good. Well, so there's a couple things. I got a couple little topics, but one is very important. It could be very important to you if it happens to you. If it doesn't happen to you, you won't care at all.
To me personally or to like the
to
listener?
Anybody, to
anybody.
To listener. To listener. You, to listener, to anybody.
Okay.
Well, you've heard, and I've talked about this probably once a year, right before tax time, for the last 5, 6, 7 years. And it's these IRS tax scams, right? Where someone calls you up acting like an IRS agent or some person representing the IRS in some form or fashion that you owe them money and you need to pay them back, right? And if you don't, they're going to ruin your credit, whatever. Folks, remember this simple rule. The IRS will not contact you. Okay, they're not going to reach out to you. It's up to you to reach out to them. So big, big red flag if anybody calls you saying they represent the IRS or they're an agent for the IRS or they're a collector for the IRS, anything to do with the IRS. Say, thank you very much. Let me hang up and call back the IRS number that you find on your own. Now, with that said, this new scam going around is actually a much, much more sophisticated, and it'll be a lot more believable. So before, like I said, they'd call you up and say, hey, you owe us money. You didn't withhold enough or whatever. Now they've gotten so sophisticated, they're actually sending you a fake refund. Now, it's a legitimate check from the IRS. It's a check coming from the Treasury Department, automatically deposited in your bank account if that's the way you got it set it up with the IRS, or they'll mail you a check. How do they do that? They are actually using phishing software and hacking software, and they're hacking into CPA firms or other, you know, tax preparer firms. They're getting your data, okay?
Okay.
So they're getting your real data, your W-2, your income, your number of dependents, your information. They're filing a fake return. They're beating you to the punch. They're filing a fake return with your real Social Security number, your real, all of your stuff matches. Therefore, it's harder to kind of challenge it first. The IRS doesn't catch it. They put in these big deductions and these other things that may not be real. So it's got false components in there, deductions, to get you a big, big refund check, right?
Okay.
So then you get a refund check. Although it's fraudulent, it's a real, I don't want to say legitimate, but it's a actual check from the Treasury.
Okay.
IRS, right?
Right.
That's sent to you. So you go, wow, well, that's pretty good. So then once they do that, because they know when you're going to get it, they know it's pretty, you know, you'll get it within a few days, right? then they call you up and say, oh, wait a minute, there's been a mistake made. That check was issued erroneously. You need to give us this money back. Now, the first version is they pose as a debt collector from the IRS, acting as the IRS's agent.
Right.
And so they want you to issue them a check made out to the collection agency, right? So you get the money back. Now, once you pay that money back, it's really hardy. I mean, you're on the hook, right?
Yeah.
So the other version is you'll receive an automated call with recording claiming to be the IRS. And they make criminal fraud charges, arrest warrant. They'll even blacklist your Social Security number if you don't, here's a case number, here's a telephone call us back. Okay? Now, the reason this is a more believable scam is because you got $4,000 or $5,000 deposited your checking account. I mean, you got money, or $1,000, depending on who, So you've got money back from the IRS in the bank account. Here's somebody calling you saying, hey, you know that $1,247.16 that got deposited in your joint checking account with your wife, Mary Lou?
Yeah.
We accidentally did that in error. We need that money back. And so you have much less reason to doubt them because you go, How did they?
So the easy thing to do is always call the IRS.
Yeah. So if you get that happen, first of all, you call your, if it's ACH in your bank, call your bank, tell them to send it back to the Treasury from where it came. Then you need to call the IRS. If they sent you a check and you haven't cashed it yet, write void on it, mail it back to, it'll have a thing from where it's sent, the city it's where it's sent. If you've already cashed it, then you need to call. You need to call them, explain what happened, and send them back a check until you get your own taxes done. But that's the best, I mean, I hate to give them kudos, but that's the best IRS scam that I've seen thus far. Normally they don't, they're not that good. All right, so one other thing I want to go to is, Tim, because I know you'll love this. I know this always gets you hot and bothered. Did you see the charges against Scott Trade?
I have not.
In Massachusetts?
I have not.
A state kind of close to your Pennsylvania? All right. Well, so there's pretty close. It's all. Was it not?
Well, I mean,
it's like
welcome to Geography by Dan.
Oh, man, seriously. Come on. That's pretty, in Texas, that's like going from Austin to San Marcos. It's like, you zip in, it's Czechoslovakia.
Oh, yeah, it's always bigger in Texas.
That's right. It's Czechoslovakia. We zip in, we zip out. All right, so the Massachusetts, state of Massachusetts.
I'm sorry, what state is that again?
Massachusetts.
Hey, Don, how do you say that state?
It's the one right next to Pennsylvania.
There you go.
All right, so they just slammed Scott Trade with, dishonest and unethical activity and failure to supervise for conducting sales contacts that violated the labor's impartial conduct standards. It goes better, though. They even called up the labor department and said, hey, look, if you're not going to even enforce your own fiduciary rule, then it's our duty, too. We're going to. So,
wow.
Well, yeah. So Scott Trade had said they're going to adopt the rule and they're going to adhere to the impartial conduct standards, basically prohibiting sales quotas, bonuses, contest, others. Okay, so here's what they did. They actually had a sales contest, meaning he who sells the most gets the big bonuses and then their commissioned products and their inside IRAs. So it doesn't matter whether it was right for the client.
It just mattered,
It just mattered that you sold it. So, man, we need a sales contest. We need to have a sales contest. So now, and the other thing is they've got some notes and stuff that they look like they were doing this to pump up their sales and their commissions right before the TD Ameritrade buyout. You see, TD Ameritrade bought them out, right?
Yeah.
So the contract's based on, well, we're going to base it on sale, we're going to base it on this. So the price is probably a little bit of a moving target. So just the few quarters of the year before the deal actually finally gets consummated, they're trying to pump up their numbers to make it look good. And so it's kind of a new spin on pump and dump.
Well, they had to pay for that old CEO's helicopter.
Yep. So, yeah. Anyway,
Roger Reiney.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, so that's why you just got to be careful where you get your advice from. Make sure it's not commission-based.
That is awful.
Only
you just never know. When you go to the strip mall and you get your advice, and it doesn't matter if your strip mall is in a nice neighborhood or a bad neighborhood. Are you giving this to me because you're going to win a cruise?
Here's what you need to know. If they're a broker. Now, they can work on a fee basis and be a broker. They're duly registered. Just ask them, do you have your Series 6? Do you have your Series 7? If you got your Series 7, there's a conflict of interest.
Yep.
Doesn't mean they can't do a bad job. Doesn't mean they're dishonest. But it means you got to have your antenna up a little bit higher because you got to watch out for conflicts. You got to be aware of it. That's all.
Yep.
So... Well, anyway, that's
what you got?
Well, those are my two. I mean, there were a couple others, but they weren't really worth talking about. Those two are the big ones.
So, stock nerds and market lovers, listen, if you like what you hear here, if you want to become a client of the firm, we would love to have you. We've got some stocks to talk about here in a few moments.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 855 Real Wealth is how you get a hold of us. We answer the phones when you are available. So that means we answer them on the weekends and the off hours. We're never going to spam you. We're not going to stick a stale staff after you. We don't have one. That's going to come after you. So
Twitter, you can reach me at the number one Danny Stewart.
Yep.
I'd love for you to follow me at number one Danny Stewart at TJ Razor. You'll never be able to spell his last name.
R-E-A-Z-O-R. And then
at D Vandenborg.
Yep. And then so Don, real quick before I give some stocks, what you got looking for the week and stock wise?
I am focused on the indexes mostly to make sure that they're holding these 50-day moving averages that were reclaimed on Thursday before I break it down into the individual stocks and sectors.
Reclaim meaning broke above. They broke above.
Any pullback, we need to hold them.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Don there. And I like the software group. I like IGV. I like ITA.
Defense.
Yeah. I mean, it's real easy to come on. I like Amazon here. I like Netflix. I mean, yeah. But I like software as a group, and I like the defense stocks here, especially Boeing, LMT, and RTN as well.
Lockheed Martin. Right? Yeah. You don't assume these people. No. I mean, sure, we got the stock nerd followers that follow us closely, but we always get new listeners, and you just throw out ITA, you got to go, that's the defense ETF.
Well, that's what you're doing.
Okay.
You're breaking it down.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I'm speaking. I got my Tim Terpeter.
You're like John Madden.
Tim's play by play. Your color commentary.
Yeah. You're like John Madden to Pat Summerall there. So with that, stock nerds and market lovers, we love you. We thank you for listening each and every week. Our numbers are through the roof because of you through this volatility. So stick with us. We'll take care of you. Please join the firm if you haven't. We would love to have you join the family. If you it's an easy flight. If you're out of town, we have tons of out-of-town clients. So if you ever just want to get on an easy breezy flight to Dallas and come see us, we would love to treat you to some good coffee and some barbecue. So with that, stock nerds and market lovers, we will see you next week on Your Money.